the misuse of it, and we'll give him credit that he isn't trying to be malicious.
No, I don't think that this is deliberate. I think it's just, you know, when you are testing something that you already believe in, I think you are far less likely to attack it particularly critically, and you're going to miss things like double blinding and.
But I think, even bad methodology, but it also, I think, reinforces why science is better than non-science, in the sense that it is self-correcting. I mean, if a bad study goes out there, if a bad research product goes out there, it's not taken as gospel. It's not taken as sacred text as a lot of people. When you start off the show, we had the coin flip. I mean, whoever would have wanted to research that? Well, science is self-correcting. It doesn't take anything for granted, and it goes back, and it says, let's take a look at these old questions again, and let's just use the new methods we've developed to see whether they're right. And
test everything.
Exactly.
Well, we're running out of time. What a great show. Do we have a skeptical quote to end up on?
We do, actually. And this one I'm taking out of the recent Adbusters. It's called Thought, Control, and Economics. So it's a little off topic, but I kind of like the quote.
Okay.
The difference between science and economics is that science aims at an understanding of the behavior of nature, while economics is involved with an understanding of the behavior of models. And many of these models have no relationship to any state of nature that has ever existed on this planet. The word that comes to mind when you confronted with these fantasies is falsity. So it's scientific, it's economic, doesn't necessarily represent the thoughts of my co-hosts here, but...
it's food for thought.
Yes, any economic student should go out and grab a hold of this. It has an interesting little
You can also campaign. You can also read the article, I think, online for
online,
free.
Adbusters.org.
Well, we're right out of time, so I encourage our listeners to write into us at radio.freethinker@gmail.com. And I am Ethan, your freethinking historian, saying goodnight.
This is Don, not quite as confused, saying eyes open, minds on.
This is Rob, the cognitive psychologist, reminding you that today is the 400th anniversary of Galileo unveiling his telescope to the Venetian merchants.
So, very good for Galileo.
Government and Big Pharma have entered into a secret conspiracy in which secret government contracts are sold to Big Pharma that allow for secret chemicals to be placed in coffee seeds, all under the watchful eye of Big Coffee, who is secretly working with other world forces, all in a sinister plot to get alien embryos in our coffee so Big Pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show / podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
About the birds and the bees? Want to learn more about the birds and the bees and the berries, urban agriculture, delicious homegrown food, solar energy, and much more? Check out the Society Promoting Environmental Conservation. Come to one of our workshops, join our solar panel tour, or go to our website www.spec.bc.ca for more information.
That would take me all around. and I've traveled far. It took me a long time to get back on the train. When I jumped off, I had a bucket full of thoughts. When I first jumped off, I held that bucket in my hand. Ideas that would take me all around the world. I stood and watched the smoke behind the
What are you doing this Saturday? Tune in to Beats from the Basement, starting at 11 p.m. till whenever. Bring you the freshest in new school and old school hip-hop, funk, electro, breaks, and whatever else tickles our toes. Where are you going to find it? On your home of rad, CITR, 101.9 FM. Coming up on this
Saturday. Saturday is a Saturday.
Beats from the Basement for 11 to 1. Blah, 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 blah.
Pencil.
Things are falling down on me. Heavy things I could not see. I moved to where they'd hoped I'd be. Vanessa calls me on the phone, reminding me I'm not alone. I fuss and quake and cavitate. I try to speak and turn to stone. Till he reaches through my vest to do the thing that she does best. And tears my ventricles, steals my one remaining breath. Things are falling down on me, heavy things I could not see. When I finally came around, something small would pin me down. When I tried to step aside, I moved to where they'd hoped I'd be. From grace, she needs my vision to replace her in sight throughout the night, leaving two holes in my face. Mary was a friend, I'd say. See, when I finally came around, something small would pin me down. When I tried to step aside, I moved to where they'd hoped I'd be.
This is Burt Reynolds. You listen to Wiener's Barbecue, and they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
Welcome, everybody, to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Lots going on the show today as the UBC Thunderbird men's football team gets set to kick off their 2009 season this Saturday, 2 p.m. at Thunderbird Stadium. Wall-to-wall coverage of that game on this show today. We're going to have the star quarterback for UBC, Billy Green. He'll be with us at 5:10. Former UBC Thunderbird QB, now SFU coach, Sean Olson will be with us at 5:20. And then at 5:40 and 4:50 respectively will be Jim Mullen and Dan Elliott from the Canada West, Shaw TV, CKNW, you name it. That's who they work for. But with us to start the show to tell us all about the 2009 UBC Thunderbird men's football team, the head coach, Ted Gavea. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Daryl. Thanks for having me on.
Great, Coach. Well, Coach, let's just jump right into it right now. UBC football 2009 kickoff versus SFU on Saturday. How's it going?
It's going well. We spent a week up in Kamloops and had a great first start to the camp, and we're back home and still at it, so it's going well.
In about a half hour, we're going to have the quarterback of your football team on, Billy Green. You look at the stats for you guys last year, really the two things that stuck out at me, you had a lot of trouble in the red zone and in the fourth quarter last year, fair to say, and what's this team got to do to not have that happen this year?
Well, I mean, we're a year older on offense, so, I mean, you know, part of it's maturity at quarterback, and you know, Billy did the best job he could last year, but it takes time. So, you know, I mean, moving the ball in the red zone, obviously, is important to score touchdowns, but we're not changing a whole lot.
So tell us about Billy Green, who really last year wasn't your starting quarterback at the beginning of the year. This year he really gets the full season to work with.
Yeah, Billy's worked hard in the off season. He's watched a lot of tape and worked hard on his fundamentals, and he's leaned down a little bit, so he's more athletic, and you know, we expect he's gonna have a good year.
What's he working on mostly, Coach? Where's the big improvement coming from?
Well, everything. It's just the maturity of handling different situations. His reads are quicker. He's getting rid of the ball quicker, and fundamentally he's improved a ton. So those are all things that you work on as you go through it, and it just takes time. So he's worked hard, and we're expected to pay some dividends.
Big thing, though, from last year to this year, that your football team, you really think, is going to be a much better team at?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question. Ask that again.
what is the facet of football that UBC is going to be much better in 2009 that you weren't in 2008? Biggest improvement, which area?
I don't know. It's the preseason. I can't tell yet. I mean, I think we're pretty solid on the offensive line. We're improved, I think, on offense and defense. You know, we're running around. So, you know, I don't know. Ask me that in a few weeks, and I'll have a better idea.
And your matchup this week, starting the season right away versus your crosstown rival, SFU. They beat you twice this year. What do you have to do 2009 to turn it around?
Well, I mean, we were in both games. We lost both games. Were pretty tight. They're a good football team, and I don't think we have to do anything other than finish the game. I mean, last year in the Shrum Bowl, we had opportunities to win the game, and we didn't. But they're a good football team, so it's going to be a great test.
Key matchup for the game this weekend?
You know, I think probably one of the major things is going to be us, our ability to limit turnovers and limit mistakes on our own, you know, in terms of our own offense. And obviously with their quarterback is an outstanding athlete, and it's our ability to contain Bert Dietrich.
Cool. With us, Ted Gavea, head coach, UBC men's football. So, Coach, really, what is the team goal for this year?
The team goal, well, I mean, you know, we want to get back into the playoff hunt and, you know, do the best job we can. I mean, our goal is obviously to win every game. That's the goal in an eight-game season, is to go out and win every game. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we hope to be back in the playoffs.
Cool. And is it a little weird this year playing SFU knowing they're going NCAA, or that's not on your mind at all right now?
No, not really. It's not. I haven't even thought about it, to be honest. No, not at all.
Cool. With us, Ted Gavea, head coach, UBC. Coach, best of luck this weekend, and of course, best of luck this season. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Daryl. See you Saturday.
Well, that was Ted Gavea, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's football team. With us is my co-host today, Mike Two, Wilson Wong. So, Wilson, there you have it. Coach on with us to start the show. A little worried there.
You were a little worried, or...
He was a little worried, you think?
About being on the air with you?
Ah, come on now, Wilson. Wilson, UBC getting going right away with SFU this season. You saw both games these teams played last year. Well, what is it? What is UBC? What went on really the last couple of years that they can't have happen here?
I must say, I was in the studio for the Shrumble loss where they lost by the...
So you weren't there.
By the field goal. Last second kick.
Field goal, yeah.
But it... it's hard to say because, you got a Cubs jersey on.
Ryan Sandberg. Not bad. You like it?
I like it.
84. See? It's got the little bear here.
I do enjoy that.
You got that, eh?
Yeah, I think we're getting a little sidetracked. I got a little sidetracked.
with my attire.
Well, you were telling me how you had a Tampa Bay Rays jersey.
Carl Crawford. Yeah, I got that. That was a baseball pool pickup, though. Right. You know, I've had him in my pool a long time. Now we're sidetracked. Back to the UBC men's football team. So, SFU, this is a team. Obviously, the big losing streak going into last year. They've turned that around now. So, what are we expecting? Because what's great about the CIS football season, it's only 8 games. So, yes, it's the first game. Yes, you maybe want to ease into it, but... Especially UBC is probably going to be battling for a playoff spot. There's no time for that, is there?
There's no easing into it. There's no exhibition games per se to get you into it. You know, in U.S. college football, they talk about how every game matters, but they get 12, 13, 14. You only get 8, and I mean, you're looking at you have to finish at least 500 in the past few years to make the playoffs. So you can't really kind of give up any games that you think you can win. And that SFU team last year, what I really noticed is you look at their stats. They were the second lowest scoring team in the conference last year. They got outscored overall last year, but they still finished 5-3. So it really shows you that they were able to really, in the close games, really gut out the wins, make the plays that they needed to win the 1-point games like against UBC last year. And maybe for the Thunderbirds, they were really lacking that sort of finish, that sort of toughness to really, in a close game, go over the top. Even though if they've been struggling all game, they didn't really have that sort of push to make that one great play to finish off a game.
Well, you look at the stats. I mean, the two things that jumped out at me for UBC, fourth quarter, point differential, and getting touchdowns in the red zone. So that, I guess that's finishing it off, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like Ted said, you know, there was a lot of sort of back and forth around the quarterback, you know, Mark McVay starting the season, but he was obviously not sort of a big-name quarterback coming in from the junior ranks, not going sort of the way of the high school system, so a lot of people maybe didn't know about him. And then there was that sort of controversy at midseason where there was a switch, and now he's going to play wide receiver. So this year, like, there is going to be the one quarterback, and you know who it is, and it's going to be Billy Green.
Once again on the show today, my co-host Wilson Wong. Wilson, how you doing?
Excellent. I kind of wish I dressed up for the occasion, too, though.
Next time. You know what I've been doing too much of? And I just have to say this right now. My brain is sore. I've been playing the last, like, 4 days. Too much John Madden NFL 10. I got the new game. It's really good.
That's what I've heard.
It's really good, and I think I'm fully addicted. I've literally got a game right now. I had to stop because I had to come out here. I do the season, you know, I do the franchise mode,
right?
But I label every team. So it might take me all year to do, but I try to play every, because you get to play all the teams, right?
Right. You know, right. You have to play.
I play every game.
Okay.
And right now I'm only in week one, but it's Dallas versus Tampa Bay. I'm losing 10-7 at halftime.
You know what you should do?
What's up? I just got destroyed today. I was the Bengals.
Oh, well,
who killed me? Like the Broncos. They came into Paul Brown Stadium and beat me like 31-8. I got a late touchdown.
So this game is really realistic.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm really having trouble in is throwing the deep ball. And the game adjusts, I think, that like they know I don't go deep. And I can't run anymore.
Oh.
I really lost it. I was Indianapolis to start the day. I played two and a half games today. I was Indianapolis to start the day. I was up 14-0 as Peyton Manning. I was on fire. And then I think I got cocky, and I ended up losing that game 17-14 to Jacksonville. Maurice Jones-Drew tore me apart.
Think of what would happen if there was a CIS football game.
I would love a CIS, and I'd also love a CFL game. And yes. Before, and we got a lot of UBC to cover today, I do have to say, I was at that Lion game. I do the stats for them. And that was cool.
It was 37-10.
I had 389 yards rushing. The official was 393, which you've done stats before. I was close. And I might have been right. You know how it works.
You sort of warned me about this when I first started.
The TSN guys.
And then I sort of experienced it for myself. But they're really at a game. There's the official stats crew. There's the stats crew for the TV broadcast.
Yeah, TSN.
And then there's a stats crew for either one or two radio broadcasts. And they all might have
different
yardage.
Maybe even different
completions,
attempts,
passes.
It's really something, isn't it? But you've seen the setup they have for the Lions CFL crew.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're actually, I believe, the official crew of the CFL. Those guys they're hardcore.
They are.
But they've got like six guys, and that's all they do.
They've got their own section.
They do. Anyways, on the show today, lots of UBC football, of course, the big game this Saturday versus SFU to start off the 2009 season. Former UBC Thunderbird was on the team the last time they won a playoff game, 1999. Dan Elliott's going to be with us right after the break. At 5:10, the quarterback for UBC football, Billy Green, will be with us. At 5:20, the quarterback for UBC the last time they won a playoff game, now assistant coach for SFU football, Sean Olson. And then at 5:40, we're hoping to maybe get a sense of what the top 10 in the CIS is. So he's in charge of it, Jim Mullen.
Jim Mullen.
Will be with us at 5:40. So lots of CIS football. This is the
lots of UBC stuff. It's what it's going to be like for the rest of the year, starting in August.
There you go.
Here on CITR
101.9 FM. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break, and when we're back, it'll be Dan Elliott from who's he work for exactly now? Who is it? We'll ask him.
You'll ask him.
Shaw. I know it's Shaw. Okay, I'm going to move on. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Big government and big pharma have entered into a secret conspiracy in which secret government contracts are sold to big pharma that allow for secret chemicals to be placed in coffee seeds, all under the watchful eye of Big Coffee, who is secretly working with other world forces. All in a sinister plot to get alien embryos in our coffee so Big Pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show/podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Oh, hi. I'm Hollywood Steve. You've caught me organizing my daytimer. On August 28th, 12 bands will grace the Biltmore stage to reinvent really smooth music. Shay New presents Smooth Sailing.
On August 28th, come down to the Biltmore to hear Red Cedar, Apollo Ghosts, Jody Glenham, Boogie Monster, The Gref Band, Roll Mop, Kidnapping, Valerie Graham, Fine Mist, The Oz, Beelines, MT40. These 12 bands will be performing their interpretations of smooth music and yacht rock hits by the likes of Kenny Loggins, Hall & Oates, Toto, Chicago. The list goes on and on. Tickets are available at Scratch, Red Cat, and Zulu. Visit smoothmusic.ca for more information.
Smooth sailing. Yamo better be there.
CITR 101.9 FM and Union Events present Classified, a Nova Scotian award-winning rapper with Australian group Hilltop Hoods. You've heard his hit single Anybody Listening from his newest album Self-Explanatory. Now hear him live on Wednesday, September 9th at 8 o'clock at the venue, 881 Granville Street. Tickets on sale now.
Welcome, everybody, back to Wieners Barbecue on 101.9 FM. With us on the line from Shaw TV, did I get that right, Dan?
That sounds good to me.
There you go. Dan Elliott with us right now, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, you were on the 1999 UBC football team the last time they won a playoff game?
I was not, no.
Oh, you were not on that team?
No, I was there from 94 to 98.
Okay.
So 98 was my last year.
The good, the when you guys were quite the team, hey?
Yeah, we had some good years there, definitely.
So, former UBC Vanier Cup champion Dan Elliott is with us.
There you go. That sounds a little better.
There you go. Dan, UBC taking on SFU this weekend. Tell us about these two football teams and what you expect.
Well, you know what? It should be a pretty interesting matchup. Both teams have gone through some pretty good changes over the off season, and it's almost like things have gone in different directions for both teams. Obviously, SFU had struggled for all those years, had a great year last year, a little bit of a Cinderella story to make the playoffs. Advance to the Hardy Cup, losing the final there. That's for UBC. They've struggled over the last little bit. They've had their ups and downs in terms of just finding some consistency with their game, especially offensively. They've struggled to get things going on a week-to-week basis. And last year, they really had their chances to get out to a really good start in the season. They made some poor decisions along the way in terms of both the players and the coaching staff, and that resulted in a 2-6 year. So it should be an interesting game. Oh, the first game always is, though, Daryl. You know that. It's everybody trying to feel each other out.
Yeah, how hard is it, though, Dan, for, you know, you were on a UBC team where you guys are getting ready to battle for the Vanier Cup in first place, and maybe you can use that first game as a feeling out process, but, you know, UBC team that's fighting to make the playoffs, trying to get to 500, every game's important. I think that's a little harder to play the first game with that kind of mindset, or was it the same when you guys played?
Well, I mean, it all depends. I mean, obviously, the thing about it for UBC is they're going in as the underdog. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. SFU's coming off a great year. They kept a lot of their guys, so they expect to be good as well. Now, there's not a ton of expectations in terms of people, what they're thinking about UBC. For the T-Birds, hey, this is a good opportunity for them to play loose. I mean, nobody expects them probably to win, so if they can come in and play well and get things going, they could pull off an upset.
And, you know, this UBC Thunderbird men's football team, obviously 0-2 versus SFU last year, lost the Shrumble in the last second field goal. They're not going to get caught off guard by SFU this year, hey?
No, there's no way they're going to get caught off guard. I mean, everybody, I think, took SFU a little bit for granted last year, and they and those teams paid for it because SFU came out with victories. But, no, definitely UBC should be fully prepared. I like what they did this year with training camp. They spent a week up in Kamloops, which is nice to just get out of town and get everybody together. They're staying in the dorms. They're doing everything together. It really brings everybody together as a team, and you know, offensively, a big deal for them. Obviously, Billy Green's their starter this year. He's just a second-year guy, a lot of pressure on him. So it should be pretty interesting to see how things go for him.
Yeah, your thoughts on Billy Green. We're going to have him on next on the show. Tell us about this quarterback.
Well, he's definitely got a ton of talent. Somebody who Ted Gavaya really likes because he wanted him basically probably to start last year, but felt maybe it was a little too early for him just as a freshman to come in and play right away. But he's a guy who's got definitely got a good pedigree. He was at Holy Cross High School in Surrey, and he had a MVP there year in his grade 12 years. He led his team to a BC championship. But you know what? He'll have his hands full this year. He's a guy who can run a little bit with the ball too, but he's got a very strong arm, not afraid to air it out. But again, the experience is a big thing in CIS football, and he only has a few games under his belt. So the more experience he can get, the better he will be. There's no doubt this guy's got talent, but it's not going to come overnight.
And SFU, they do have the veteran quarterback. Tell us about Dietrich.
Well, Bernd Dietrich, he too is a little bit similar to Billy Green. He's a little bit of a runner as well. For him, it's just getting confidence for him. He's heading into his third year now, his second year, technically as the full-time starter. He's got a guy from Western Michigan who's pushing him, actually, for the starting job this year. And Bernd Armstrength isn't fantastic, but the guy, especially down the stretch last year, found a way to make plays when his team needed them. He was just a clutch guy. He made some big plays down the stretch, and he was an important part for them, and he's really a threat to do a lot of things, not only getting the ball down the field, but also running with it. So defenses have the key on that.
Dan, what has happened here at UBC? What are your thoughts? What do they have to do to really turn this program around? As we mentioned, dominant back in your day, haven't won a playoff game since 1990.
That's a loaded question.
Well, I'm just saying, is it hard with the marks to get it going here at UBC? Well, what do they got to do to turn this program around?
Well, I
don't want to get you in trouble here, Dan.
No, I don't get in trouble. I can say whatever I want, Daryl. I don't have to please anybody at this point in time.
Attaboy.
You know, the situation for them, I think a lot of it comes down to some of the recruiting. The situation is, yes, it's tough to get into UBC, but, you know, guys can do it. I mean, there's some smart kids out there who can play football as well. And I think the biggest thing for them is, and UBC's always done a good job of recruiting guys out of high school, but the fact of the matter is you're not going to have a bunch of 18-year-olds come in and make an impact right away. They're going to need a couple of years to get a handle on the university football system, and they're going to need a few years to develop, whereas if you bring in a couple of junior guys at the same time, guys who are a little bit older, guys who are a little bit more mature, maybe physically as well as mentally, and they can come in, they can make an impact right away. You need to have a really good blend of that, and I think UBC has struggled to do that over the years. They really focused on the high school guys rather than trying to get in some of these top-end junior players. Obviously, some of the junior guys may not have the grades, but I do think that's somewhere they probably need to be looking more. And one of the biggest surprises, they don't have a veteran quarterback. I mean, yes, they got these young guys. They had Mark McVay, and who's moved to receiver, and they got Billy Green. But even to bring in a veteran junior guy who's played three or four years of junior football to come in even for a couple of years and back up, just to give these guys somebody who's played at a higher level than high school to give them some experience.
And, you know, it is odd, Sean. You look at UBC playing SFU this weekend. Just looking over at that SFU coaching staff, that is a strange thing, isn't it?
It is a strange thing. I mean, the bulk of those guys are UBC guys, obviously, with Sean Olson there as the offensive coordinator and Dave Johnson, who coached myself in 97 and 98 at UBC. So, you know, they've done a good job. And the thing about Dave is the guy can sell it. I mean, he is one of the best recruiters in the CIS football, bar none. The guy really sells his program, and people buy into it. People want to play for that kind of guy, and he's got a good coaching staff underneath them, which have a few former UBC Thunderbirds, but that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, we're going to have Sean Olson on the show here in about...
You're allowed to have him on?
I made the call. He agreed to do it, and that's good enough for me.
That is good. That is good.
That's good enough for me. How great of a quarterback was this guy?
Yeah, he was pretty darn good. He came in during my third year at UBC, and he was the backup then, and we had Jason Day as a starter. It was very good, but Jason got into trouble one game, and Sean came in and basically led us back to a victory that game. We ended up losing Saskatchewan, but from there on, he took over the helm, led us to a playoff game that year in 96, and then the next year, 97, we won a Vandy. I mean, the situation about him is that the guy was just a gamer. You know, he could take a hit, smart guy, and he didn't care that he was handing the ball off to Mark Knorr a lot of the time. He could do it that way, or he could beat you down the field. I mean, the guy just had all the tools, a great teammate as well, which is the biggest thing. Guys wanted to play for him, and receivers were willing to go up the line and go get those balls that he was throwing up because he was such a good teammate.
And he seemed like a leader too, hey?
Absolutely. He is the type of guy that you want to follow, and that's what you want out of your quarterback. They have to be, unfortunately, people say it's just a stereotype, quarterback has to be a leader, but that is one of the key position on your team. And if nobody believes in the guy who's under center and throwing the ball, you're not going to be successful at all.
Dan, we'll ask you, UBC football getting underway versus SFU this weekend. Predictions for UBC this year?
Predictions. Ooh, it's always prediction. I still think they're a 500 team. I think they're a 4-4 team. I think that would be something to... I think they should... You know, they may not be happy with that, but I think they should be happy if they've been come out as a 4-4 team. I mean, the biggest concern for them right now is defensively. They lost their entire defensive line. So they're going to have to bring in four new guys who can try and make an impact there. And those are some tough spots to fill, to replace guys like Scott McQuaig and Graham Best and Tommy Buckman. So, you know, to me, they are a 4-4 team. And I think making the playoffs is realistic, but you're looking at a fourth seed, I think, is what you're going to be battling out for. Because right now, for me, Calgary, SFU, Saskatchewan are your top three teams.
Hey, Dan, it's Wilson Wong here. I know you said that you sort of see this UBC team as a 4-4 team. I think a lot of people kind of are wondering, you know, where are they going to get four wins this year?
Well, that's actually a very good question, Wilson. Obviously, they have a very tough schedule. I mean, the thing about it is that they have four home games, and those are the situations where you really have to try and take advantage of it. I mean, the fact of the matter is that it doesn't matter who you're playing, you have a huge advantage playing at home, not only on your home field, but you get more guys to dress. And it's just a better situation for it. I don't think I could pick out individually which one will be the win for them, but yeah, they're going to have their hands full, that's for sure.
But basically, Dan, you can look at the schedule. You get SFU at home, you go to Alberta, then you host Manitoba. They got to come up with some wins there, maybe two wins.
Yeah, I definitely think they can beat Alberta. They can beat Manitoba. Manitoba's they had a tough year last year, and they've gone through some changes, and they got a new quarterback this year who, to me, is not as good as John Mackey was. It's Nate Friesen, who's their quarterback. But, you know, it's just one of those situations where for UBC, the wins are there. I mean, they should be able to beat Alberta and Manitoba. And those, I mean, that's basically the teams, Regina, Manitoba, and Alberta. When they play them, they have to beat them if they're going to make it to the postseason.
So that's three of their first four games. So yeah. Once again, we'll go back to it. No feeling out process. They got to start winning right away, hey?
Well, and that's the thing about the Canada West is that's the situation is there are no exhibition games. I mean, yeah, you're trying to feel it out in terms of where things are going to go for you, but you can't waste that time. You got eight games. And that is all the time you have to get it done. And for them, they need to win half of them, I would say, to get into the postseason. So you're right, that SFU game off the hop will be a tough one. But they go to Alberta, definitely winnable. Then they have Manitoba at home. They have Regina at home. So two back-to-back home games against teams that they can beat. They have Calgary as well. They go to Saskatchewan, never easy. And then they're at SFU and they play Manitoba again. So, you know what? Yeah, I think it's pretty favorable if they can beat those Manitoba teams twice, they beat Regina once, Alberta once, they're your four wins. Maybe steal one over SFU. I mean, it's a situation you got to see where they're playing after game one, right? I mean, it's tough to make predictions in this league because the fact of the matter is a lot of teams have turnover, and especially when you have it at your key positions like quarterback, you never know what you're going to get.
Dan Elliott, Dan, last thing. What do you expect out of SFU this season?
Well, SFU, I think, will be near the top once again. I think Calgary is the team to beat, no doubt. They just seem to get stronger every year with Blake Neal. But SFU has got some definitely some talented guys. I think the guy to watch for them will be their running back, Gabe Eppart. He was injury-riddled throughout last season, but this is a guy who, when he's on his game, he is absolutely unbelievable, a huge game-breaker for them offensively. A guy can control the game. They lose a lot of guys on their offensive line, so that would be tough early on, but they got a veteran group in their secondary, led by Anthony DeLoria, who's the son of Lou DeLoria, of course, former great UBC player, of course, now a coach at SFU. So, you know what, they bring back a lot of guys, and, you know, there's a lot of confidence in that group now because of what they did last year. So they'll be definitely a team to watch. And they have high expectations for themselves now. So before, where losing was a commonplace and it was accepted, that's no longer accepted as SFU. They expect to win on a weekly basis.
Dan Elliott with us right now. Dan, thanks so much for doing this. Last question, prediction for the game on Saturday.
You're really putting me on the spot. Again.
Lay it out.
You love to do this. All right, I'll say it'll be 28-17 SFU.
There you go. You that was your media hat on, not your alumni hat on there.
Yeah, no, it's basically the same at this point in time. I am a proud alumni, but I realize at times that the program isn't quite in the upper echelon where it once was. So baby steps at this point in time. Just want to build for the future. I think that's the key for Tegavai and his group.
There you go. Dan Elliott. Dan, thanks for doing this. Very much appreciated.
My pleasure, Daryl. Thanks for having me.
There you go. He answered all the prediction questions, eh?
He did. He even picked up the four wins.
And he added a possible fifth. So there you have it. I actually do apologize. They travel to Manitoba the third week of the season.
Right, right.
They will be hosting Manitoba in week 8 of this year, their 8th game of the season. But, you know, he said it, you know, he's got the four wins. You got to beat Manitoba twice. You beat Regina. at home, and they got to go into, what was it, beat Manitoba twice?
Alberta.
Beat Regina and go into Alberta.
Yeah. Now, I mean,
so, there you go.
If you split with Manitoba, then you have to split with SFU. And you know, in any season, no matter how bad your team is, you should try and do your best to be able to split with your arch rivals.
So we'll see it happen. So there you have it, Wilson. They, according to Dan Elliott, our prognosticator. Thank you. I'm not even going to bother trying.
Your brain's hurting.
It is way too much Madden. I didn't sleep two nights ago.
You'll become an expert.
No, I'm not good. They've created this thing called gang tackling. I don't know how to do it. And I'm really bad at, they've got a new thing where you fight to recover the fumble, but it's one of those things you got to push the button real fast. Haven't got one. I lose every time. But this is a game, UBC, that if they can pick it off, perhaps looking okay for the rest of the year. You know,
it's kind of like last year where they just started 2-1 and were in position to go 3-1. And their whole season turned around because they weren't able to beat Regina.
We're not even going to get into that one.
That's going to be another show.
We'll just leave it. We're going to take a break. You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. When we're back, we're going to be talking to the starting quarterback for the UBC Thunderbirds, Billy Green. We will be back in a moment.
To a secret conspiracy in which secret government contracts are sold to Big Pharma that allow for secret chemicals to be placed in coffee seeds, all under the watchful eye of Big Coffee, who is secretly working with other world forces, all in a sinister plot to get alien embryos in our coffee so Big Pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show / podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
A long time ago, in a city far, far away,
CITR
was born. In the decade ahead, America will be in space.
CITR
is already there. Astronaut Neil Armstrong had this to say about
CITR.
It's one small step for man.
CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Herbert R. Tarlick, Chairman.
Welcome, everybody, back to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. With us on the line right now, the starting quarterback for the UBC Thunderbird men's football team, Billy Green. Billy, thanks so much for doing this. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Pretty good. So there you have it, Billy. The season finally getting underway this Saturday versus SFU. First off, how was the training camp in Kamloops?
Training camp was great. We got to bond together as a team for a week up in beautiful Kamloops. It was great weather, nice and hot every day, and I think it prepared us for playing an afternoon game this Saturday against SFU.
So, what did you guys do up in Kamloops? What did the bonding entail?
Basically, we'd wake up every day around 8. We'd all eat breakfast together in our dorm, downstairs in the dorm room. We all had an area to eat. Then we'd have meetings for about an hour. Then we'd have practice, and then we'd do a couple team things after lunch before we had our second group of meetings. And then one day we actually got to go down to the river and go rafting.
Oh, cool.
So we got to bond together like that for a couple hours that day. We got the afternoon off from practice and meetings, and it was just a great experience. We got to know a lot of the rookies. They have activities that they have to introduce themselves to the team and kind of get acquainted with everybody, and I think that was a good opportunity for them and for the veterans to kind of get to know who is coming onto our team kind of thing.
How are you at rafting?
I'm okay. I'm not too good or anything. I can swim, so I was able to jump off my off the tube every once in a while and go sneak up on some other guys and give them a little present and flip them over. That was kind of funny.
There you go.
Yeah.
And the rookies, any rookie sort of orientation thing they got to do with you guys? I'm not going to use the word hazing, that sort of stuff.
No, there's definitely no hazing that goes on our team, but like before they can eat at lunch, they each day they have to say, introduce themselves the first day, say where they're from, what position, everybody likes to know if they have any sisters kind of thing, and then one of the other days say they have to do movie skits. Just so you can kind of get to know, like, what kind of guy he is, like, if he's outgoing, and then kind of later on, you know, like, how you can approach him kind of thing. So it's just to get to know their personality a little bit more. And most guys, like, last year when I had to go through it, like, I'm pretty outgoing and everything, so kind of like that. And just they were really good about it this year, which I thought was really good.
Who did the best movie skit? What was the player and what was the movie?
The best movie skit, who was it? It was a rookie running back, Ryan Lockheed's his name, and he did a gladiator scene. I think it was the Emperor, and he had the voice, he projected really well, and he, like, some guys are funny, and everybody was kind of just sitting there, and we're like, oh, he's so serious, and then, you know, he finished, and we're all like, wow, that was unreal, and everybody gets up, claps and everything, because usually we're used to everybody getting up there and doing a movie like Super Troopers or Old School kind of thing.
What was the guy's name, the Emperor, from Gladiator?
I have no clue.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix was the actor, yes.
Yeah, there you go, okay. It was just bugging me. I couldn't remember that for a second.
Yeah, I just watched it, actually. So.
Good movie, good. Hey?
Great movie. One of the best.
Russell Crowe kicks some ass in that one.
Yes, he sure does.
With us right now, Billy Green, the starting quarterback for the UBC Thunderbird men's football team. So, Billy, you got to sort of get your feet wet in this league last year. You played 6 games overall for UBC,
yep.
478 yards. You are still looking for that first touchdown pass.
I sure am.
But what did you learn last year sort of getting to play some football games in this league?
Oh, I learned so much. Like, coming in, I had a great high school career. Everything that could have prepared me going in, I thought, I never went in thinking, oh, I'm going to start right away. That wasn't my mindset. I was just going to go in and learn the offense, get to know everything, know everybody. And last year, getting in for 3 starts and 6 games prepared me so much. I couldn't even explain going in how much it would be able to help me. So for this year, it's just like you go in for your first game and it's so fast compared to anything you've ever played. And then once you get more experience, it slows down for you, really, is what happens. And getting that experience last year, Coach Gavaya giving me that opportunity helped me so much for coming into training camp this year, because every day I spend playing against a great secondary that we have, and it's slowing down, everything's clicking, you know where you want to go with the ball, and I can only contribute that to playing last year, really.
Billy, last season, UBC men's football, you guys had a lot of trouble punching it in the red zone.
Yes, we sure did.
What do you got to do to turn that around this year?
Well, this year, I think last year we kind of had a mentality. We had Sean McIsaac, who was unbelievable at field goal kicking, and I think we kind of got into a lull, and we're like, okay, we're going to get 3 points. We're inside the 30, and we didn't really get that killer instinct that we needed. We just needed to take the ball and just do whatever we could to put it in, and I think we might have lost that. I can't really say any one thing that would have added to that, but this year we've put in a couple wrinkles into our offense that we think we can use in the red zone to get the ball to our more athletic players and make them really make some plays.
And your competition this Saturday, get the season underway, SFU comes into Thunderbird Stadium. You played in the Shrum Bowl last year, the last second field goal loss. Tell us about this SFU team and what you learned playing against them last year.
Oh, last year it was my second start, so they were a little bit different of a team than Saskatchewan that I faced the first time. Like, they play a lot of different defenses. They like to play man coverage and utilize their speed. And for this year, I think we have some receivers who can match up with that speed. So last year they were able to lock a lot of our receivers down, but the way we've kind of worked our starting offense this year, we have a lot of shiftier, faster receivers who we think they can play against. SFU's secondary, they all return, I believe, to my knowledge, and that is a good thing and a bad thing because they're all a very talented group. But we also have been watching the film of them playing, and we hopes that we can do some pretty good things against them.
Blaine Kruger, your star receiver last year, no longer with the team.
Nope.
So who's going to step up for UBC this year?
I have a couple, Jordan Grieve, he's going into his second year of eligibility. He'll be number 81. He's a very, very talented player. He came into UBC as a quarterback, and last year started at receiver, I believe, 6 games for us. One of my best friends, Spencer Betts, he will be number 7 I played high school with. He will play our wideout position. And then Misha Thiel is taking over for Blaine Kruger.
Cool. Billy Green with us right now. So, Billy, SFU, you're playing them this weekend. What can we expect from your football team?
I expect us to come out, and we have a game plan to execute, and I believe that we will be able to go out there, execute a game plan, and if we can play the right game and execute on every play, I think we'll be in a position to do pretty well.
Awesome. Billy Green with us right now. Billy, thanks so much for doing this. Best of luck getting the season underway on Saturday.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Well, that was Billy Green, starting quarterback for UBC. Good interview, hey?
He's an outgoing guy. He's a chatter.
Yeah, we like that.
It's good for radio.
We like that. So Billy Green is the quarterback. You got to see a lot of this UBC Thunderbird offense this year. What are we expecting here, Wilson?
I think everyone kind of goes into the year very optimistic.
Yep.
But you have to realize that, hey, look, this is a team that, as you said, lost their best receiver. A player, their quarterback, is just really entering his first full year, has some games under his belt, but is in his first sort of full season. There's I think, a lot of pressure for him to sort of perform right away. I mean, I know they've talked about adding some things to their playbook, to their sort of repertoire, but, you know, you can't really expect, I don't think you can really expect,
I guess,
a
really,
lot from this team, to be honest.
I guess what you're really expecting from Billy Green and your expectations is just, really, your best bet is just don't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Make the smart play.
And SFU was kind of like that, you know. I mean, even when they were struggling a little bit, you didn't really expect them to give the game to you, right? Which is, for UBC, that's one of the things that they really need to focus on is At your very worst, you shouldn't be giving the game away to the other teams, and then not giving the turnovers, not sort of stalling in the worst parts of the game. And I think for you, yeah, you're exactly right. You know, if you are a young quarterback, if you are someone who is really just sort of stepping into a new role, you don't want to be sort of handicapping yourself by giving the game away and turning the ball over.
And I guess the other one, you know, I watched a little bit of the four or five minutes of the Monday night game yesterday. Did you see that one where Mark Sanchez?
Oh, the Jets.
Yeah. First pass intercepted by the defensive lineman, returned for a touchdown.
And then the second pass
should have been intercepted by Ray Lewis. And they were saying it was Ron Jaworski or John Gruden. They were saying when he gets into trouble, when he starts throwing those picks, when he starts getting hit in the mouth, how does he respond? So that's the other one to sort of look out for Billy Green.
Just sort of watching the guy play in high school and sort of knowing the type of guy he is, you kind of do expect a guy like him to get hit and actually want to come back and want to do better. Like he just is that kind of guy. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds and how he and his sort of that receiving core kind of responded this year, because Kruger was their sort of go-to guy, but him and Mark McVay were quite the tandem, quite the combo, and so it'll be interesting to see whether Billy has a connection with a certain guy or a couple of guys who can...
Spencer Betts, was that who he mentioned?
Spencer had a great season as a rookie, really, really surprised a lot of people by his ability to run the ball in the return game. I think we all remember the fact that he was able to run a ball back against Manitoba in Winnipeg. Had some great games last year before he got injured. So I think he was really one of the lone bright spots for the team last year.
And, you know, talking to Dan Elliott, you know, we've now handpicked those four. We don't know how the season's going to go.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm going to go with his pick, okay?
Sure.
He seems to know what he's talking about. So, you know, you've got the two Manitoba games, you've got the Regina game, the Alberta game. Those are the ones we have handpicked that if UBC's going to make the playoffs...
They better win.
They got to win those four games. So this is not one of those games. So really, we're just looking at UBC. I think from more, especially Billy Green's perspective, just have a solid game. Win, lose, just have a solid game.
But...
Show glimpses.
Well, but couldn't you also look at it as saying, you know, this is a game they don't expect us to win. Kind of like the roles are reversed from last year when SFU came into the season and UBC and everyone else wasn't really expecting them to do anything, and they were able to pull the game out. Maybe this is sort of UBC's chance to do the same thing to the Clan.
Billy Green, young quarterback, getting the start for UBC in his second season. When we're back, we're going to talk to the former quarterback for UBC. The last time they won the Vanier Cup in 1997 was also the quarterback for UBC. The last time they won a playoff game, 1999, I was here versus Calgary. He's now the offensive coordinator for SFU. Shaw, yep.
Oh, just saying, you know, everyone on that SFU sideline is a former Thunderbird.
Shawn Olsen. Will be with us right after this.
Yeah, the state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting, like, more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle. Let the clatter kill him. Let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a cry. Draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
Uh-huh. You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver, CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite! Sunday, Monday, Sunday, Thursday night only, Thunderbird Radio Hell.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Jay. How's it going?
All right, I guess.
I didn't think I would bump into you in the street.
No, usually on Thursday nights, I'm listening to Thunderbird Radio Hell.
So am I.
Yeah, usually the radio has a show on at 9 p.m. to 11.
9 p.m. to 11 p.m., that's right.
It's a pretty good show.
Is that the show with the live bands?
Yeah, it sounds like there's talking between the band and the guy.
Yeah, that guy.
interviewing bands while they're still alive.
I'll check it out.
Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
This just in, Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM presents Cabba Radio. Join host Teddy Smooth as he explores the chimerical, the hysterical, the phantasmagorical world of burlesque and cabaret. Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM brings you Cabba Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Wilson, we had perfect timing there, hey?
Almost.
Almost perfect timing. With us on the line right now, former quarterback, former Vanier Cup winning quarterback for the UBC Thunderbirds, Sean Olson. So, Sean, what are you up to nowadays?
I'm actually working up at Simon Fraser University as the offensive coordinator for the football team there.
No, you don't say.
Yeah, so we've got a bit of a matchup coming up here in a week, I guess, coming up this Saturday. So it's kind of a bit of a surreal type of weird experience for me, always going back to Thunderbird and being on the other side.
Weird for me too, Sean.
Yeah, I can imagine. We had a few times where we were doing some interviews and a bit of a pass together. So that's good. A couple of drunken nights, I think. No, I'm joking.
I don't know. I'd like to know. I think I could. There was one year I traveled with the football team. I think I held my own drinking with them.
I think you got you did well, I think, as far as I can remember.
I don't know. I don't really remember. the old time, Sean. The old time. Although, maybe I'll still do it. Who knows? With us right now is Sean Olson, offensive coordinator for the UBC. There you go. I did it.
You did it.
I did it. Sean, for SFU. Sean, though, go on back, though, before we move on to the game on the weekend. I know that's what you're focused on now, but let's go a little down memory lane. Your thoughts back, we got to go all the way back, 1997. It's also be a nice thing in your heart there, winning that Vanier Cup out here at UBC.
Yeah, no, that was obviously one of my best memories associated with football. It was sort of the accumulation of a lot of hard work from a lot of people. Coach Casey Smith, we all know what happened with him and stuff, and it was a lot of his hard work that put that team together. Coach Dave Johnson, who was the head coach of Simon Fraser, was the defensive coordinator, and just so many great memories of good people and hard work, and not all of them positive, but it's funny what time will do when you have some memories that are maybe tough, and working at practice through injuries and conditioning and having it all finish the way that you always want your finish in any sport, your season to finish in any sport. So it was great, and I still have a lot of fond memories, and it's funny how when you bump into guys from that team, you don't miss a beat. You're right back in 97, reliving those the good times.
Yeah, how is it, Sean? I mean, I remember the first time I did your guys' games, it was 1999. You lost the Hardy Cup final to Saskatchewan, correct?
Yep.
Jamie Boren beat you guys that day.
Yeah, that's true. And it's funny. For me, everything always blends together throughout those years, And people mention a specific game or something that happened, and it usually jogs my memory. But it's funny. It's just I remember sort of the overarching good feelings and good times that I had there, and the good people and the good friends that I made.
Well, my question really is, you won the Vanier Cup. Is that something that when you look back, that kind of, I guess you got all the great feelings, but you did win, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, and it's funny, and anytime you're in a sport, that's what you're trying to achieve, and it's more times than not, you don't accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. So when I think back to that actual win, it was very strange. I almost felt like relief as opposed to joy and adulation and stuff like that. So it was strange for me. Looking back, it's more of a fond memory than maybe even at the time. It was just sort of, hey, we didn't screw it up. We had a chance to win it. We didn't screw it up. And as I found out afterwards, you never know when you might get back, and you never know if you'll ever win another one, even though you think you might have you had a good team and had a real good opportunity to. We never got back, and so it makes that one even more special.
And Sean, the other question I have to ask you, look at the SFU coaching staff. How did Dave Johnson really get all you guys to come over there?
Well, you know, it's funny. Football, especially, is a sport of loyalty, and you end up being loyal to people as much as any team or anything like that. And Coach Johnson has a way of attracting loyalty and attracting certain types of people. And over the years, he's touched a lot of people and made an impact in their lives, and they seem to want to follow him. And those of us who want to continue in football and be still involved in the game, it provides them with a very good opportunity to be involved with football in a good environment, and so much of that's important, especially in Canada, because you have all the assistant coaches and stuff are not getting paid big money or sometimes any money, and so they're doing it for the enjoyment. And he seems to be able to create that type of atmosphere, which is special, and that's why I think a lot of us are back with him.
And Sean, before we get into the season, your thoughts, SFU going NCAA?
You know what? It's kind of weird. We don't really know all the details of what that means yet. What does it mean for our guys that are on our program right now that might be going into their fifth year? What does it mean as far as travel? Who are the teams that we're going to be playing? So, I mean, the idea, I think, is especially for Simon Fraser, I think it's a great idea because the university was sort of founded on that American competition coupled with Canadian academics. So it's a sort of it's a return to what the school was, founded on. But for other schools, I'm not sure if it's the best thing. I think that there are some good points. There are some bad points. I think for the football program, we would have to find out what the details are before we really say if it's amazing or not. But I'm looking forward to playing against some American competition. There's a part of me that likes the American game a little bit better. And I think it'll provide a very unique opportunity for our student athletes that will be attending Simon Fraser. So I think in general it's a good thing, but we have to find out what it actually means.
Yeah, a lot different as a coordinator with that one extra down and smaller field.
Oh, offensively, it's nice. You can burn it down. It's amazing. In Canada, you got two. That second down, you go second along, and it's you're kind of limited with what you can call. So that's one component I do like a lot.
Sean, SFU. Football last year, of course, you guys broke the big losing streak to open up the season versus SFU. 5-3 last year, go all the way to the Hardy Cup final. What did it mean to just have that season last year to your program?
Well, I think, you know what, it was something that was very important to us as a group of people, because we'd put a lot of hard work into that program, into building it up from basically the ashes. When we got there, Coach Johnson had his first meeting, and there was 36 guys on the team. And, probably at least half of those guys couldn't really play football very well. So it meant a lot because there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Our players really bought into what Coach Johnson and the coaching staff were preaching. It was something that when you want something so badly, it really ends up being an emotional experience. And our guys really, really wanted that game. And it was kind of that game and probably the first Saskatchewan game were the two catapults to what we ended up achieving that last year. So, it was huge because you can't win your second game unless you win your first one. And with Simon Fraser, we hadn't won in 25 games, so you get caught in that losing attitude and losing environment, and sometimes it's tough to get out.
So the SFU football team obviously mentioned 5-3 last year, made to the Hardy Cup. You want to eclipse that this year, or maybe go farther down? What's the team goals this year?
Well, of course. I mean, anytime you start a season, I think you want to win your league first, and then that gives you an opportunity to win a championship. And so that's sort of what we're shooting for. I think we'll be a little bit better than we were last year. I think last year we were a solid football team that got a few breaks from time to time and created a few breaks. But I think we'll be in the mix again this year. I think we'll be towards the upper echelon of the Canada West, and depending on how our guys play on any given Saturday or Friday, that we will have a chance to win. And the good thing is that we have a few guys that have been in our system for now 2 years and been in our program, been in our weightlifting program, understand what we're trying to accomplish. And those are the guys that we're really expecting to step up and be major contributors for us this year.
Yeah, well, tell us about the offense, Sean. And you mentioned guys who have been there for 2 years, led by your quarterback, Bern Dietrich.
Yeah, no, it's great to have a veteran back. Last year was really a freshman season for Bernie. He played very sparingly in the first year. He played some punt return stuff. He's a good athlete, very, very hard worker, great leadership skills, knowing how it works and stuff. And I think he can be as good as anyone's ever been in the Canada West. So he's got that kind of personality and that type of physical skills. So it's just a matter of what he does on game day, making good decisions, all that kind of stuff. We'll have a good receiving core. Our skill positions will be very good this year. The big question is, we'll be young on the O-line, and we'll be young, we're athletic, but anytime you're young, you're going to make some mistakes, so we'll just have to make sure we can live through those and limit them, and if we can do that and get a few breaks, I think we'll be have the potential, let's say, to be an explosive offense, which will be nice. That's something we haven't had at Simon Fraser up to this point since being there.
Sean Olson, offensive coordinator for SFU football, with us right now. Sean, playing UBC this weekend. Obviously, I assume it's probably hard first game of the year to know a ton about your opposition, but what kind of matchup do you think we're looking at UBC-SFU on Saturday?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Thunderbirds are always a tough matchup. Last year, I mean, I know the record wasn't fantastic, but they were in almost every single game that they played, so they'll play it tough. I know they have their D-line is basically going to be completely new. The rest of their defense is basically returning, so, I mean, it's going to be a bit of a mixed bag. We know they're not going to roll over. It's their home opener on their home field. I know that they had a very good recruiting season, so it's kind of a strange situation that first game of the year, because everyone keeps their cards close to their chest, and no one really knows exactly what you're going to see or even who you're going to see. So you just try to prepare your guys for general schematic stuff and hope that they are able to execute on game day. So it's always interesting. It's my least favorite game of the season is the first one. That's for sure.
So, Sean, what kind of game do you think what can we look for out on the field from SFU on the weekend?
Well, I think we're going to be aggressive. I think that's something that, again, once you have a young team that's developed a little bit and gotten a little bit older and matured, I think you can go from being maybe a little bit conservative like we were last year to a bit more aggressive and taking some chances down the field and trying to create opportunities as opposed to just trying to react to opportunities. So I think that's something you're going to see from us. You know, I think you're going to see a fit team. I think you're going to see a team that has a lot of desire and flies around and will smack you in the mouth on defense and will, you know, hopefully do the same thing and run by you once in a while on offense. So I think it's going to be a very good game. I know every coach always says that, but I really do. I think they're going to come out and they're going to be playing with a lot of pride and a lot of you know, probably anger and stuff from last year. And if we can weather the storm, I think we should be able to match up fairly well versus them.
Sean Olson with us. Sean, thanks so much for doing this. 1997 Vanier Cup champion, starting quarterback for UBC. Last time they won a playoff game in 1999. Sean, I gotta say, 1998-99, if you had told me, I believe it was a rain-soaked game, you beat Calgary, right?
Yes, yeah.
It's like a mud field. If you had told me UBC would not win a playoff game since then, I did not see that one coming, I'll say that much.
I'll tell you what, I didn't either. I thought we had a pretty good team that year, and I thought the following year we would have had a chance to win a few, and I know since then there's been a couple good teams as well. So I imagine that streak's not going to last too much longer, but, you know, at least I was a part of the last win, hopefully.
and if you could have something to do with it, it won't be happening for much longer.
Yeah,
right?
Well, hopefully not on our watch, that's for sure. I mean, if they want to beat Regina or something like that in the playoffs, that's fine with us.
Do you root for UBC when they're playing those other teams? I mean, is there still something there or not at all?
It's funny. Root's probably a strong word, but I mean, you don't spend 5 years and have as many good memories and make as many good friends as I did there. There's obviously a small part of me that still you know, feels something for the school. You know, that's I think natural. So I mean, if they're playing Saskatchewan, I don't think I'll ever root for Saskatchewan. I would say I'd be pulling for the blue and gold.
You threw out Saskatchewan, hey?
That one
stuck with you. Sean Olson with us. Sean, thanks so much for doing this. Best of luck on the weekend. Great talking to you, Sean. Great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Sean Olson. Last time UBC won a playoff game and the Vanier Cup, he was their quarterback.
That was the last.
Oh, we got to turn your volume.
Yes, that was the last century.
It was the last century. Well put, Wilson.
It's just amazing. Like, as you said, no one would have ever agreed with you.
I did that game, and they were a dominant team. And they, I think that year, I can't even remember who won the Vanier. Them in Saskatchewan were just, it was awesome football here at UBC. And then he left. And you just watched it. It was just a little less, all the way down to 0-8 eventually. And there you have it. I mean, yeah. Really dropped. I didn't bring it up to Sean Olson. He had a really bad thing. He actually got suspended after the season, his final year out here. You remember that?
I do, actually.
Some weird diet pill. I believe they took him out of the... He was nominated for the Het Crate, and they took him out of it.
I remember covering that, actually.
That was stupid. That was stupid. CIS for you, hey? Although I'm sure the NCAA will do the same kind of things, but we'll move on.
Well, yeah, I think he's moved on, too.
We'll move on. When we're back, we're going to talk a little more CIS, a little more UBC, SFU. We're going to get a little... We're going to try to get a little bit of what's going on in the top 10, which was supposed to be out today, you told me, the CIS top 10?
Yes.
But something
We'll have to ask Jim about it. Next guest.
Well, we're back. Jim Mullen from CKNW will be with us. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM.
Right to Play is an international humanitarian organization using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a big sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
The UBC Ski and Snowboard Club is a nonprofit, democratic, student-run organization dedicated to promoting the sports of skiing and snowboarding and the associated lifestyle.
We endeavor to make skiing and snowboarding accessible and fun by actively seeking out the best deals and discounts for our members, as well as organizing trips to local ski areas and setting up numerous social events.
Come on one of our legendary trips and explore the glory of riding in British Columbia. Or join us at the bar to discover the true meaning of debauchery. Ask your roommate, ask your parents, ask the RCMP. Who has the most fun at UBC? You'll get the same answer. The Ski and Snowboard Club.
Yeah. Joining the Ski and Board Club is easy. Come by our office, sub 115, anytime with some money to become a member. Your membership gives you access to all the deals offered by our sponsors, cheap beverages at our parties, an invitation to all club events, and of course, only members can come on the trips. Yeah.
Welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. So how are we doing, Wilson?
Good. Yourself?
I see you're...
I've been doodling.
I like the little bit. You drew my cup bear over here.
I did.
You drew the cup bear over here. With us on the line right now, do a little more preview of UBC and SFU. Can we talk a little Canada CIS Top 10 with you, Jim?
Yes, you can, and I'll try to speak in code for you on it so I don't give too much away. Although I can let this out of the bag, Laval is number one.
Surprise.
Jim, Wilson, it was supposed to be out today?
Yeah, interesting story about that. Michel Boulanger at the CIS head office came back from the World University Games in Serbia, was in need of a new computer, got a brand new computer, and apparently this morning the hard drive packed up on it, and it keeps all of his files on this thing. So the ability to actually send an email with all the details this morning out of the CIS head office was not. So there was, I got an email from a BlackBerry in Ottawa saying, please don't post it on the University Football Reporters of Canada site. So I didn't. And tomorrow at 9 a.m., we'll post it on on the UFRC site, ufrc.wordpress.com. And I know the CIS is going to post a top 10 plus others receiving votes. We are posting the top 19 all in order. Actually, 20 teams receive votes in all of this from coaches and a media panel, and then from individual members of the media who are all affiliated to the UFRC. Unfortunately, I didn't see anything in the email from you, Daryl, or from you, Wilson. All you got to do is email me with the top 10, you know.
Are we still eligible? Or?
For sure.
Okay.
Well, you cover CIS football, don't you?
Absolutely, I do.
Well, then that qualifies you. It's not like there's going to be any sort of hazing or anything.
I was excited for some hazing, perhaps.
It can be arranged if you like. if there's anyone in the Vancouver media scene that a lot of us would actually like to haze, it's probably you.
I'll take it. I will take it. Yeah, because I want to be one of those, like, Wilson, you could be what, like, people say, how did that school get in there? Receiving votes, you know?
Well, I tell you, there was one school in there. There's a couple schools in there that are a bit of a head scratcher. I can tell you that right now. Mount Allison. How did they get in there? that's a great question. You know, Regina, I can.
Really?
Yeah, they're not in the top 10.
No, but they got a vote somewhere.
Okay. Bishops. How do they get in there?
Maybe it's one of those, you know, when they're voting and they've got like their nine teams and they just want to maybe just make someone feel better.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of that. I did see a lot of that in the number 10 spot.
Because you know,
I should explain how it's set up this year. Last year we had 11 media panels from across the country, and it came out of the CIS office. Now the UFRC, the football reporters for university in this country, which I started in conjunction with Mike Hogan out of Toronto last year at the Grey Cup. We're responsible for it. So we came up with a new system where we try to balance things regionally because there have been times where we've seen a great Ontario bias towards some of the selections because they had a number of spots for national media and a number of spots for Ontario media, and the national media tend to be Ontario media. So what we've done is for the media, we've broken it down into four. We've got Ontario National, Western Canada, and Quebec and the Maritimes are in one pack. So and on the coaches' side, it's broken down into three regions, Western, Ontario, and Quebec, along with Atlantic Canada. That way, basically what we're producing is seven different top tens, and it's all on a point basis. And then general members of the UFRC can also vote. They get their vote basically standing up as one vote, like one point. That's what we call a voting point. As for the panels, their votes count for 3 points. So some wacko at Mount Allison can't register his vote and have it measure up as the same amount as, say, one of the panel votes. But at the same time, they do get their opportunity to put their vote forward and participate. In terms of voting points, for instance, Laval finished first with 1,710 points, which is a lot more than the 110 we did last year, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah.
You know, and the teams that finished 19th and 20th, they have like 3 points. So that tells you, you know, second place is 1,500, third place is 1,168, fourth place is 1,125. It kind of breaks down almost similar to the U.S. poll, where it takes about that many votes to finish in the top 25.
I guess, Jim, and I really know this because obviously in the U.S. NCAA, the polls are in essence everything as far as where you're going to play at the end of the year. Is there something, though, voting? A lot of people, I mean, you hear them say it in the U.S., a lot of people don't like the fact that people vote before the season even starts.
It's really hard to vote before the season starts. And a matter of fact, we had a couple of the coaches in Quebec send emails out to some of the other coaches saying, you know, we shouldn't vote on this because we don't really have any idea what's going on in the rest of the country. So we had two schools in Canada West not vote, and they'll hold off until the season starts. We had three in Ontario not vote, and we had three in Atlantic Canada and Quebec not vote, just based upon that reason. We left it open to all voters, especially at this time of year, saying if you don't feel like you're qualified to pick a top 10, pick a top 3, pick a top 4, pick a top 5. I mean, if you follow this at all, it's pretty easy to pick a top 3 teams across the country. I mean, logic says Laval, Western Ontario, Calgary, Saskatchewan, St. Mary's could all qualify for a top 5. So, you know, it's up to you who you want to pick beyond Laval in that case. So we made it very flexible, and we got a lot of participation. The one area that I'd like to expand some of the participation is with the individual voters, and that'll simply be from word of mouth, or it'll be one of those things that's kind of viral on the Internet once the season starts. We did get two votes from you folks at CIT.
Oh, really?
Mr. Noble and Mr. Asa Raymond.
Yeah, Wilson and I, we were at the coaches. We elect not to vote till games are played.
No, okay.
We both, correct, Wilson? We went with that.
Because, you know, Daryl's ballot may or may not have, like, a Toronto or a Mount Allison on it.
Well, in essence, if UBC wins on Saturday...
They should be number one.
They could be number one in the country at that point.
No. I have friends associated with the team, but I have to say no. They got a long way to go before they get there.
Can you give us any hints what we're going to read in the top 10, Jim?
Let me see here. I can tell you that in terms of Quebec teams, we have 1, 2, 3 Quebec teams. Ontario teams, we have 1, 2, 3 Ontario teams, 2 Canada West teams, and let me see, 1 team from Atlantic Canada. And, of course, SFU and UBC both did receive votes. UBC only received votes from the coaching panel. No media votes.
Tyler and Asa left them off?
Well, I'm not supposed to divulge it.
You kind of did, Jim. You kind of did. Process of elimination.
But the one thing that we're going to that we're going to put up on the UFRC website that's also going to be different from what the CIS does in their release is we're also going to present how the media panel place the teams and how the coaches place the teams. So fans out there can compare what the coaches think of the other programs and what the media perceives of the other programs. And it's interesting because there's a team that that comes in at number 3 on the media panel that comes in at number 5 on the coaches panel, for example. And there's a team that comes in at number 9 on the coaches panel that comes in at number 5 on the media panel. So there's a number of teams that just don't match up between what the reporter's perception is and what the coach's perception is.
So I guess the next step is a BCS computer and you're good to go.
Well, I tell you, with this voting system...
Maybe Jim is the BCS
computer.
If you
know anyone out there that can really help me with Microsoft Excel to maybe cut down about 2 hours off of this computing, I'd be really happy to meet him at this point.
That's not us. Trust me.
No.
Yeah, that's why you're doing college radio.
You're not kidding. With us right now, Jim Mullen. Jim, the season gets underway out here at UBC. You know, I was talking to Wilson before, your thoughts, the first home game for UBC, the first game, 10 days before school starts. That's a little odd.
Well, your alternative is to play, it's funny you mentioned that 10 days thing, your alternative is to play 3 games in 10 days then. But the way the Canada West schedule works with an odd number of teams, and that's what both of these teams had to face prior to last year. And in that year, prior to last year, I distinctly remember UBC losing 4 players to injury.